You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Hour number two, we got the local, the state, the national man. We cover down on all the issues, and like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, I tell you what, you know, I told you guys back in the day, some of y'all have been with us since the show started a year and a half ago, and I told you that one of the things I love to do is sort of bring home things that are happening around us. You know, it's important that you know there's good folks doing good things all around us, because this is an amazing state. I mean, it really is. And so I'm excited today to have some folks in. I've gotten a little bit familiar with what they do. I've interacted with them before. I've got friends that work with them right now. But Tommy and Valerie Goodman are here, and they are actively engaged in a thing called Sleep in Heavenly Peace, which is quite a name. But listen, it's an organization that's, I guess, got what I would call, is identified a specific need, and it's got a targeted response. And it's out there just making waves in people's lives. So welcome to the studio, guys. How y'all doing?
Hey, good, Phil. Thanks for having us.
Yes, good. We're doing great. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, let's start with this. What is Sleep in Heavenly Peace, and how did that get started? What is the deal?
Start there? Okay. We are just a 501c3. We're a national 501c3. We're the Alabama Gadsden chapter, so we're the second chapter in Alabama that started in Alabama. We've got five now in the state of Alabama, and we build beds with the community. It's not us building the bed in the garage. We invite the community out to what we call build days. We'll set up in a parking lot, a business parking lot, a church parking lot, invite the community to come out. We've got a core team that we've God's really just placed them in our lives. A lot of them we didn't even know when we started.
My friend Candy's one of them.
Candy's one of them, yeah. When God first put this on our heart, we'll probably talk about that in a little while. I reached out to about 18 gentlemen, and today we don't have any of those guys on our core team, but when we started praying for core team, he's gave us about 50 core team members, which is now 90 core team members that help us build and deliver. But we build beds with the community, and we deliver beds to children in need. We see probably 50% of our applications are grandparents raising their grandchildren on fixed incomes.
Wow.
A lot of foster parents, single moms fleeing domestic violence. So you name it. We'll probably talk about some delivery stories. We've seen it.
Oh, I want to hear the stories, because I think it's the stories that bring home what you're doing. But tell me this, how did you guys become aware of this? I mean, how did y'all figure out this organization was even out there to take part in?
We first became aware of this organization in the fall of 2019 after we had gone through a really, really tough season in our lives. And we began praying for, you know, God, what is your purpose for our lives together as a married couple? We want to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. And so we just really began seeking God and just praying diligently together for that. And he brought my husband to a show that only aired on Facebook.
Mike. So Facebook did something good.
Yeah.
All right.
You want me to tell that story?
Yeah, I want him to tell the story because he tells it very well.
So
all right, go ahead.
She was telling us, you know, we went through a separation of 50 days, not speaking with each other, separated, no contact. God healed her marriage, and then we started praying together for her purpose.
Wow.
And there's a show that only aired on Facebook for about 4 years, and I had previously seen it prior to us separating and all that. It's called Returning the Favor. And the host of the show was Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
so yeah. This is a show, he calls them do-gooders. So it's people in the communities doing good work, and he's shedding the light on them, and he's acting like he's doing a little documentary. But all of a sudden, he's blessing them with $30,000 or a building or a car or something like that. So I had seen previous couple years of it, and it's like any other show. It has series, and it goes off. They make more series, and it comes back on. Well, I believe it was the third season, came back on, and I work at Honda, so got about a 30-minute drive from Southside to Honda. It's 26-minute segments that airs on Facebook, so I can press play, listen to it on the way to work,
yeah,
get a feel-good story, and then go into work. So I was watching, I believe it was season three, and the very last episode I come to, they did a episode, Micro did an episode with Sleep in Heavenly Peace.
Oh, no kidding. The national organization.
The national organization. Okay. The founder was Luke Mikkelsen. And I had to go back about a year later and see exactly when, but I always said within 10 minutes, the Holy Spirit said, this is what you should be doing.
Wow.
I started sobbing. When I got to work, I forwarded it to Valerie, hey, please watch this. She texts back and she said, I'm crying and this is what we're supposed to do. I went back about a year later, and it was 2 minutes and 45 seconds into that episode, or that episode, that the Holy Spirit said, this is what you should be doing. Hmm. So we started reaching out, like, is there a chapter in Alabama? You know, how can we become a chapter? And I had some selfish prayers where I was praying that there's no chapter around Gadsden, Alabama.
Please don't let there be one.
That's right, because I knew what he called me to do.
Don't throw me in that briar patch.
So we reached out. Finally, there was a Hartsville chapter. That was the first chapter in Alabama, and we reached out to him. And once the air showed, they've got so inundated with applicant people wanting to start a chapter, they had to pull everything offline where you couldn't even apply.
Yeah.
So John, which is the chapter president of the Hartsville, he got us in touch, gave us a number to get our application, and we finally got the application, sent it in. It got lost. About a month later, we got another one in. So it took us 2.5-3 months to finally hear something back.
That's cool. So, Val, you didn't think he was crazy when he sent it to you. It got you too, huh?
Right, it did. And they, like he said, they had experienced such rapid growth so quickly that it was hard for them to contain the amount of growth.
You're talking Hartsell or the national group?
The national organization. And so at the time we joined, there was only about 12 chapters across the U.S., and now there's more than 340.
Wow.
Something like
340,
that.
And plus there's like international too, right?
Right, right. Four different countries. And but one of the things I want to touch on that he said was the community that God has positioned us with. One of the things when we were going through such a difficult time in our life is that we lived for ourselves and we didn't do life with other people. And we believe in the power of community and doing life together. And one of the things that I love about Sleep in Heavenly Peace is that it builds a stronger community by bringing the community together to focus on the needs of our youngest citizens.
And literally building something together.
Exactly, exactly. We have seen so many family relationships healed and restored and just strengthened just by facilitating an opportunity to serve others. And so I love that concept. But also, all these amazing people in our community that we get to do life with now, we didn't even know them before Sleep in Heavenly Peace. And our lives have been so incredibly enriched because of all these wonderful people.
So you guys, this is not your full-time gig, right? You both are employed outside. This is a volunteer thing, correct?
It is. We're not paid. We're all volunteers.
Yeah.
All chapter presidents in SHP are unpaid. We're just volunteers that are most of us called to do this. Yep.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I used to be on staff with a ministry called Young Life, and I had a sign on my wall that said, volunteers are a gift from God. You can't do the stuff you do without the people who give up their free time to come help make it happen. And the fact that two of them all are kind of heading things up and volunteering at the same time, I mean, you get it. You know that people have other things they could be doing with their time. They have other lives. They have dinner. They could be sitting at home in their stretchy pants watching TV and
That's
doing
right.
nothing, but they're down there with you helping build beds and change kids' lives.
Yeah, we've had a crazy past 3 or 4 days. We built 100 beds in Trustful this past Saturday.
Yeah.
We loaded all of our tools up. We headed to South Carolina, Hilton Head, South Carolina, Sunday. We built 335 beds with Lowe's Corporate Tuesday.
Wow.
So we set up Monday, built 334 beds, loaded all that back up, drove back Wednesday, got back about 7:30 last night. Today, right before we came here, we unloaded all those beds. We brought back 235 to our chapter for the 211 that is on our waiting list.
Boomer, I got nothing, man. Apparently, I'm a lazy individual.
So we spent all day today unloading tools, unloading beds, and then here we are today. So we're saying that because, like you said, the volunteers, which is our core team,
yeah,
went 10 of us, 10 of them went with us. We can't do it without them. And they're incredibly tired, but they're incredible. They're just incredible.
Your volunteers, Val, are they all from here? In your chapter, are they all here from the Gadsden area, or they live all around the northeast part of the state? Where do they live?
So our chapter serves all or parts of 9 different counties, and
oh, wow.
All of our volunteers are from those counties.
Okay.
And if you combine all of our core team, just our core team, this is not the volunteers that show up at all the build days, just what we consider our core team, who are the people that really make it happen. They set up, they're there for the builds, they tear down, they do the deliveries. We have close to 100 people right now. And would you say 8 delivery teams that are going out?
Yeah, seven to 8 delivery teams
and
right now that help us.
And it's still not enough.
Deliver.
We need more people.
Well,
we can serve more kids with more people.
You're talking to a wide audience right now. So I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break right now. When we get back from this break, though, let's start digging into what it is you actually do, how you identify those that you serve, and and some of the stories you've got, which are probably going to wear me out.
Yes.
All right, Boomer, take us to a break, man. We'll do it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We're here in studio with Tommy and Valerie Goodman. Sleep in heavenly peace. I'm pretty sure this is going to wear us all out. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Glad to have some folks here in studio. You know, sometimes I just sit here and just talk in the mic, and I'm thinking, I hope somebody's out there listening. It's good when I have folks in here to join me. But listen, Tommy and Valerie Goodman, you started off the segment here talking about the organization Sleep in Heavenly Peace that y'all are with right now. You kind of gave us the lay of the land on how the organization itself came about. And if I recall, too, in the literature that I looked at before y'all got here, the guy who founded it, John, Luke.
Yeah, yeah. Luke Mickelson.
Luke Mickelson, I'm sorry.
Yes.
It kind of started in his garage.
It did.
He did something nice for somebody, and it grew from there.
Yeah.
But now you guys have one of the second chapter, I think you said, in Alabama.
That's correct.
And it's now an international organization. It's like gone boom.
It has.
And to hear you talk about driving to South Carolina and doing hundreds of beds with Lowe's corporate, I mean, that's a clear indication something caught hold and it's doing. But talk to us about what it is you actually do. I mean, the practicalities from the moment you find a need. How do you vet the need? How do you make this thing practical? What do you do? You want to go?
Right. So we have formed collaborative partnerships all over town where we work with other organizations to identify children in need. So we work with the schools, we work with counselors, we are constantly dropping pamphlets off at the Department of Human Resources or fire departments or the local police chief, churches. You know, we're constantly making sure that the community knows about us. We utilize the city pages with social media. That is an incredible resource. It's completely free, so we're constantly broadcasting on there to identify the children. We have an application process. It's a simple, less than 60 seconds to submit the initial application. It comes to us, and we vet every application. We have a lady that volunteers her time.
I'm going to call her out, Faith Jones.
Yes.
I know her. She's a wonderful lady.
Yes,
Faith
she is
amazing. She is the first voice that every applicant to our chapter will hear, and for 5 of the counties. And then Carrie and Paul Moore serve the other 4 counties that we serve. So they're making those calls and vetting. And so we just go through the application with them. We have some additional questions we ask them. We do our best to do our due diligence to make sure that this is a legitimate need. And once we identify that the need is legitimate, then we go ahead and we approve that application, and it goes on our waiting list. So right now we have between 211, 214 children waiting, yes.
Waiting for a bed.
Waiting for a bed. And to date, since June of 2019, we have delivered...
You ready for this?
You ready for it?
Yeah.
2,334 beds in nine counties since June of 2019.
See, I would have never figured. I mean, I look at things like child hunger, right. You know, the family poverty situation. I don't picture a bed. I don't picture kids sleeping on a floor.
Right.
But they do.
They do. And it's something when we first got involved, we knew that there were children that didn't have a bed. We had no idea the magnitude. It's like a silent epidemic. It is unbelievable. These children are sleeping either directly on the floor on a pallet. They're sleeping on, we've seen them sleeping on pool mattresses, like pool floats, blow up pool floats,
yeah.
Blow up mattresses, couches. We've seen 3 and 4 kids per twin mattress. We've seen them in recliners. We've seen them, you think of it, we've seen it. It's unbelievable. And so, you know, we can't expect that our children will go to school and perform well academically, socially, mentally, emotionally, without consistent good quality sleep. The lack of consistent good quality sleep is setting them up for failure instead of success. And so our goal, we can't meet every need, but we can meet this need.
Yeah.
And this, you know, poor quality sleep is contributed to so many diseases. And even depression, childhood obesity, just a slew of things. And
then
so,
you have just the other issues too, like embarrassed to bring their friends home to their
right.
house or whatever.
Exactly. Exactly.
So is there any cost at all to a family? Is there, if you identify a household, is there anything that they have to pay or do to make it happen?
No. You want me to say, once we approve that application and when our delivery teams show up, we're bringing a bed that's a brand new bed that's built by the community.
Yeah.
A brand new mattress, brand new comforters, brand new pillows.
Wow. The whole thing.
They get the whole thing for free.
Okay.
No charge.
And delivered for that matter too.
That's correct.
Yeah.
You know, our bed, we assemble a headboard and a footboard and side rails and we bring it into the home and we get the children involved. We let them help put their bed together. So the bed's in pieces and we go in the home and they help us put that bed together.
Is it exciting for them, I guess?
Oh, my gosh.
You would think we had handed them the moon. I mean, just, it does so much for your heart. I mean, to see these kids get so tickled. A lot of them have never had anything new that was all their own in their whole lives. And
yeah.
We've even been in homes where there's 12, 13, 14-year-olds. This is their first bed they've ever had.
Oh, no kidding.
No kidding. And so we have so many of those stories that I'm sure we're about to get into that it's just really eye-opening because once you see it, you cannot unsee it. And once you know it, I mean, it is there. And there's no reason in this wonderful, amazing, rich country that we live in that we should have children sleeping on the floor.
Well, I completely agree. And, you know, I can just picture, you know, what it must be like to see their faces when that happens. We're going to talk about some of that in a minute. This segment is going to wear me out, Boomer. I can just already tell. It's just going to just go ahead and just get the mute button ready, brother. And don't anybody call for my man card when I get choked up later. I'm just saying, folks, this is what it takes. And I love the phrase do-gooders. I wrote it down, by the way. We may have to have constant do-gooder segments on this show because we've had you're one of several organizations that we've had on that we find out about. And we just want to get them in here and let the people know what's happening in their backyards, right there in their own communities. Y'all are a classic example. All right, listen, folks, y'all stay tuned. We're about to get into the meat and potatoes here. What happens when a bed shows up at a house where a kid's been sleeping on the floor and what kind of reactions they get? You're going to love this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. I'm talking about this show is down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden. We got parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. We are back in studio right now with some amazing people. By the way, the text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Tracy from Athens just texted in and said, these folks are a perfect example of angels among us. So, all right, you're already getting to the listeners. So I'm just saying. All right, well, let me ask you. We talked a lot during the break. I mean, I don't know how we could possibly cover everything y'all do and get done, but you sometimes walk into houses and find people that need more than one bed. I mean, you've got you told me a minute ago you walked into one house and the grandmother who had custody of her grandkids, you brought one bed. She thought it would be greedy to ask for two. It turns out there were two teenagers sleeping on the floor, one on a recliner, one on a couch, I think you said.
That's right.
And so you came back the next day with another bed.
We did, yeah. Our very first delivery, this is a shout-out to Lowe's. We just told you we were there with corporate Lowe's. This is our local Gadsden Lowe's. We weren't even a chapter yet. We're being trained by the Hartsell chapter, and a grandmother messaged us personally and said, hey, I'm on a fixed income, disabled fixed income. I'm raising my four grandchildren.
Four?
Four grandchildren, three boys and three girls and a boy. So we reached out to Lowe's, and Valerie, we went and talked to them, and Val went to pick up the lumber, and she called me at work crying. She's like, they just gave us the lumber for four beds. So we had made a deal with Luke, said, hey, Luke, if we go to the Hartsell chapter and build with them on their weekend, can we build this grandmother beds? Because our chapter wasn't even opened up. We had to come back and raise $5,200 to buy our tools. We didn't even have that yet.
Wow.
So we went to Hartsell. John said, yes, we built the beds with him. And Lowe's manager, Corey and Sean, are like, hey, we want to go with you. So we walked in that home, and the grandmother had picked up one of the children from school that day with a stomach virus. And you know, we have children. I know you have children. When they're sick, you know when they're sick. Or when they're playing, you know when they're playing. Well, this child was sick, laying on the bed. We're bringing four beds in, pieces in, and she's not smiling. She's not doing anything. And we go in, and they lived in a single-wide trailer. They added a room on for the girls to sleep in. Three girls and the boy had a front room. And it had plywood floors, and I don't think there was anything on the walls, maybe some plastic. But she made them a bedroom, right? So we bring the beds in. We get the girls' beds together, and we go up front to do the boys' bed. Well, when we come back through to get our tools from the girls' room, the little girl was off the couch. She was laying in her bed with a smile on her face.
Take over, Val.
This is what it does to us, and it never changes. We go to sleep with their faces imprinted on our hearts, and I don't know that will ever change. It is incredible to see how something as simple as a bed or a pillow or a blanket can bring such joy. Just pure joy to a child's life.
The opposite of the first time has really stuck with you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can still see the emotion. What else? Have you had any others that just stuck with you? Thought, well, I'll never forget this one. Yeah.
I'll never forget the first time I walked in. And we tell the parents when we're vetting the applications and right before we deliver, if they're sleeping on anything, like a blow-up float or anything, please get anything out of the room so when our delivery team show up, they can put this bed together, right? I walked into that room. And when we opened up the door, there's a box spring with a Superman blanket and a pillow.
Hmm. That's it.
And he's sleeping on a box spring.
Yeah.
So we asked the mom where could we put it, and we opened her room up, and she's sleeping on the box spring.
Hmm. Hmm.
There was the first. It was actually our second delivery with the Hartsell chapter. So we were in training. We had not even been to Idaho yet to do our official chapter training, and we went out on some deliveries with that first Alabama chapter. And we went to this home, and there were four children. We were taking two sets of bunk beds. When we walked up the front stairs, you could immediately, it was a very small home, so you could see straight through, and there were only rooms to the right and left, and you walked right into the main living room, and so you could tell there were not beds in the entire house.
Right.
And
wow.
So when we went into the room where we were going to put the two sets of bunk beds, the room was so small we could barely get the team in there to assemble the bunk beds, but it was, again, a plywood floor. There were no toys, no dressers. The clothes were just in a pile in the corner. And the youngest girl, 4 years old, her name was Hannah. We got the beds all put together, and we were looking for the children. We wanted to get them in there and let them see their beds, and we couldn't find Hannah. And she had gone outside and picked a little dandelion and brought it to me. And she said, "This is the best day ever." 4 years old, Phil. And that dandelion stayed on the dash of our pallet until it disintegrated.
It was in pieces all
it
over.
It was just in pieces everywhere. I was determined that I was going to keep it forever. But just the simple joy that day brought those kids was incredible.
And you've delivered, tell me again, how many, 2,000 what beds? How many have you done?
2,334 in 9 counties that we serve.
And you have 200 something more on a waiting list right now.
Right.
That's unbelievable.
And that number changes daily. As soon as we deliver some, we get more applications. So that it's rare that we ever get below 100 on our list. It is constantly a revolving door.
Well, and let me ask you this. So when you identify, when you vet someone and they get on the waiting list because they've been cleared as somebody who has a legitimate need that you can try to fulfill, how long do they wind up staying on the waiting list with the usual pattern of what you're able to do?
In the beginning, when we didn't have an inventory,
yeah,
we were having to build 20 beds to deliver 20 beds. So
they
were waiting a lot longer. Fast forward 3.5 years, the wait time is relatively short, anywhere from 1 week to 3 or 4 weeks, but rarely past that.
Okay, wow.
That's relatively quick, right.
So you guys have a facility now where you're able to sort of stockpile and keep some inventory there and your tools and all that. What do you do?
We do, yeah. The first year and a half was our home. Our garage
Yes.
Our garage was the storage building for the beds and the mattresses. 3 rooms of our house was all the bedding. The hallway was the bedding. Our delivery teams had our codes for our garage, had our codes for our house. They would come in all the time, get this, that. About a year and a half of it, Valerie's like, "I got to have my house back." She about lost it. So luckily, we had enough funds to look for a storage building, and I don't know if you've ever looked for a storage building. Sometimes they're hard to get. So we were on a waiting list for a while, and we got one, and then we were blessed for about a year and a half with using a big place for about a year and a half to store stuff. Now we have 4 storage buildings here that serves 5 counties, and we've got 2 in Oxford that serves the 4 counties over there.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So, and do you actually do the construction at those facilities? Is that where you do it, or where do you do it?
We're completely mobile. So any business that wants to sponsor a build, a church that wants to sponsor a build, we build in their parking lot. We bring our tool trailer. We've got everything we set up. We have a build day with the community there, whoever they invite, whoever, you know, sees our Facebook page and comes out. So we're all over the 9 counties building beds.
All right. So, in a practical sense, I know for a fact, running a 501, that you may have a lot of volunteers, but there's still things they have to get paid for. So what is the mode for you guys? I mean, how are you raise funds, I guess? You take charitable donations? You have grants? What do you do?
We do. So a couple of different areas that we receive funding. We have an amazing community that sends in incredible general donations, and that helps keep us going. Anytime that a church or an organization sponsors a build, they raise their own funds to cover the building of whatever amount of beds they have chosen to build that day.
Okay.
We also, our corporate headquarters has a corporate sponsorship with Lowe's, who helps fund us. We are able to submit for, I think, $8,000 a year in grant money for our chapter alone.
Which the cost of lumber has gone up.
But that enables us to talk about something that's very important to me, is getting the younger generation involved. So we earmark that money to go into the schools with a program that my husband piloted. We go into the ag departments. We teach the teacher and the student or two how to build. They build in class time.
Oh, yeah.
They're learning to identify the needs of those in their community while also learning skills. And then sometimes they even get to go on deliveries with us. So we've been in many of the high schools, a middle school. We've been in Gadsden State Community. We've built at JSU. And that's an incredible opportunity. We also have a couple of fundraisers every year. We do the annual Pajama Day, which is coming up this year on November 29th. It's Giving Tuesday. That is a partnership with local schools. Over the past 3 years, that has raised $44,000, but this year our goal is about $35,000 for a single year, but that's because we've added more counties and schools that we are partnering with. So
if somebody wants to support, you guys, I know there's a national website. I've been on it. I did have it right here in front of me. Name the website. And if they want to find you and donate at the local level, how do they do that?
Okay, so the best way to find us locally is through our Facebook page. When they go on our Facebook page, they'll be able to click the link to donate to us directly. It'll carry them to what's called our chapter page on the main website. But if they don't have, maybe they don't, they're not on social media, they can go directly to SHP, as in Sleep in Heavenly Peace, shpbeds.org. And click on Find a Chapter, select Gadsden, and then donate through that page as well.
And what chapter, what your chapter, can you name the nine counties? Do you have them rattle off the top of your head?
I do.
Oh, name it, girl.
Ready.
What you got?
Okay, we got Etowah, DeKalb, Cherokee, Clay, Cleburne, Talladega, Calhoun, St. Clair, and Marshall counties.
Okay. All right, good. You got basically Northeast Alabama pretty much covered right there.
Got it.
And then you have other chapters in Alabama or where?
You want to talk to that?
Sure. Like we've been mentioning, Hartsville chapter was the first chapter. There is a Shoals chapter.
Okay.
We just launched a Huntsville, Alabama chapter, actually going to be there this Saturday for their first public build.
Oh, wow.
We've got two chapters now in Birmingham, so we got a Birmingham South and a Birmingham East.
Okay.
And that is that wraps Alabama up right now.
You got my listening areas covered. I tell you what, let's do this. I tell you what, Boomer, let's take the break. When we come back, let's talk about that event in Huntsville you've got coming up.
Okay.
And maybe get a couple more of your stories, because I think the audience needs to hear the actual human factor that you guys contribute to.
Okay.
All right? Let's do it. We're taking a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, sitting with a pair of amazing people, some do-gooders. We need more of them. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, we will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, sitting here in studio with Tommy and Valerie Goodman, working with Sleep in Heavenly Peace. We got a few minutes left. I kind of want to run down a few. I want to hear some more stories, to be honest with you. I need you to just go and choke me up again while we're at it. But let me ask you this, though, because we have a huge following in Huntsville. That was our first market where this show started. And you guys have an event coming up, you said, in Huntsville. So I thought real quick we might want to get the details on that in case somebody wants to show up.
Sure. Yeah, this is the Huntsville chapter. They're actually a new chapter. This is going to be their first public build. This Saturday, the build starts at 9:30. They're going to be at the Lowe's on South Parkway in their parking lot building bed. So anybody that wants to show up, honestly, really any age, we got a job for anybody. So they just show up. Don't bring any tools. We got all that set up.
Okay.
We got a job for a 5-year-old. We got a job for a 95-year-old. So no experience necessary. We've got core team members that are going to show you what to do. We're going to cut wood. We're going to sand wood. We're going to brand wood. We're going to drill wood. We're going to put headboards together. We build it from scratch.
That's awesome. So, and it just right there in the parking lot.
Right there in the parking lot.
Now, you said that's in the Lowe's parking lot on South Parkway.
That is correct.
Is there like one particular church sponsoring that? Did you say it and I missed it?
I believe Lowe's is actually sponsoring this.
Oh, Lowe's is doing
build.
It themselves.
Yes.
Okay. That's pretty cool, actually, that a corporation is seeing a need and filling it. Well, so you guys have done a bunch. You mentioned a couple of names. In fact, I love the fact that Hannah's name stuck in your mind after all this time. Mm-hmm. Give our audience another quick indicator of some of the transformative moments you've seen.
So I want to tell you about Brandon. Brandon's a 14-year-old who lives right here in Etowah County.
All right.
He was living with a family member, and when our team showed up, Brandon's bedroom was actually a utility closet.
Oh, wow.
So when you walked into the utility closet, there was a hot water heater. There was a lawnmower. There were like black yard bags of different things being stored. There were plastic totes stacked up. And there was a treadmill. And every night, Brandon would lay that treadmill bottom part down, put a pillow on it, and that's where Brandon slept.
On a treadmill.
On a treadmill. Right here in Etowah County.
How old was he?
14.
Mm.
So our team rearranged that utility room and they got that bed in there. And Brandon,
which was bigger than a treadmill, I'm sure.
Right. And Brandon has his very own bed now.
Wow.
Yeah.
At 14 years old, so he's high school age. He's going to school every day after sleeping on a hard treadmill, which is not made for doing anything except running on. What else? I mean, I know you've had a few more. Yeah. That's amazing.
It is. I never forget the time we pulled up to this home, and there it looks like they're remodeling the home. There's a big dumpster outside. You can tell the house is like looks like it's being painted, and we're only delivering a single bed. We pull up, and the grandmother approaches us, said, "Hey, the house is a little bit further down if you want to just drive down to it." I'm like, "Well, it's just one bed. We'll carry it." So I thought maybe, you know, we thought that was the home, but it's right behind it. So she's like, "It's in the field, and we're going to turn left." So we start walking. We turn left, and there's a block building. And it was a hog house. Used to be a hog house. They turned into their home.
Wow.
And they boxed off one corner of the hog house, and it still smelled like a hog house. So the mother and the grandmother living in it with a child, boxed it off so he can have a room in there, and we put his bed in there. And they were just beyond ecstatic, but I never forget the smell. And just the fact that they're having to live in a what looks to be a hog house.
And you know what county was that in?
That was in Etowah County.
That was Etowah also.
That was Etowah County.
Yeah, it's just amazing what you don't even realize is down the street from you. I mean, I can think back to times when Charlene, y'all may have met my wife and Charlene at church because we all go to the same church, but my wife and I have had times when things were very tight. You know, we lived on a very small income as newlyweds. We were like the epitome of the poor newlyweds for the first 5 years of our married life, it seemed like. But I never would have imagined my kids sleeping on the floor. Yeah. Never once.
There's a story that we tell sometimes. We mentored the Aniana chapter. We trained them, and the Hartsell chapter helped us train them as well, just like Hartsell trained us. And the wife was called to this ministry, and the husband was supporting, you know, out of good deed, I guess, trying to make sure he didn't sleep in the doghouse. But when they went on their first delivery with us, we were in a home in Collinsville, down in DeKalb County.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. Delivered the bed, little bitty trailer, like a construction
trailer.
That was what they lived in.
Okay.
So the boy had to sleep on the floor because they couldn't even fit a couch in there. When we got the bed there, we helped the children help us put it together. Every time he would put his impact on that bolt, it would slip off, and he would crouch down and say, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." He'd done that so many times, you can tell the boy had been beat.
Oh.
So he had been transferred from his dad in Florida to here to his mom. And when we walked out of that house all in tears, I looked at Dan, which is the chapter president, and I said, "That's why we do what we do." And 2 weeks later, he said, "Tommy," he said, "I wasn't sold. That sold me." And he's just as passionate now as his wife is.
Wow.
We have an opportunity to plant seeds in every home we go in. and we're only there for a short amount of time. And sometimes, honestly, we're just tilling dirt, right? We don't even get to the planting the seed part. But so many times opportunities like that present themselves.
Well, you guys are doing amazing, amazing, amazing stuff. And, you know, I was having you come in today thinking, this is kind of cool. I want to hear about a good thing going on. And I'm just sitting here blown away. So, woo! Thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Sleep in Heavenly Peace. The website again?
SHPBeds.org.
SHPBeds.org. Chapters all over the state of Alabama. Good people doing good things right here in your backyard. All right, folks, we're going to get back in just a minute and talk about more mundane things, I can tell you that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.